belong to Jesus. What a wonderful, blessed thought. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, when it cometh, it is a tree of life. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. You know, beloved, nothing discerns the thoughts and intents of the human heart more than the precious Word of God, which is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. If you ever want to know and learn about the human heart, it's not in philosophy, psychiatry, human intelligence. If you ever want to learn more about your own heart, beloved, we must turn to the pages of God's sacred Word, for nothing discerns the thoughts and intents of the human heart more than God's precious Word. Not only in God's Word do we come to meet God face to face, we come to meet ourselves. And sometimes what we see isn't very pretty. And yet God does that so we might realize that all our hope and all our trust must never be placed in ourselves or in man, but in God alone. It is those who are of a contrite spirit and a broken heart with whom God dwells. So God's Word is a mirror, so to say, of what the human heart is really about. For within these sacred pages, men are made to see their real character. Here they come face to face with the true condition of their hearts and the true intentions of their every thought and motive. Here within God's Word, we see things that we would ourselves refuse to agree with or believe in. Therefore, the sinful man bears great indignation and contempt for the Word of God. And he would incessantly and he would vigorously seek to avoid its illuminating and revealing power. Mankind, sinful mankind, hates the Word of God because it does exactly that. It reveals to him who he truly and really is. His character, his motives, his true intents, the purposes, his imagination. And sinful man hates to see that. Yet he that doeth the truth, those who truly been converted, and grace now fills their hearts. John 3 says, he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Those who have received the true work of grace in their hearts, we come humbly, yes, yet boldly to the Word of God in hopes that God would reveal to us the true intentions of our hearts. As wicked and as vile as they be, the believer knows that only when we come to understand and acknowledge the sinfulness of our hearts and our infirmities that we'll ever be able to truly come to a right and proper knowledge of God. The psalmist cried in Psalm 139, and we preached on that a few weeks ago, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Beloved, that's not the pleading of an unconverted heart, but one which stems from a heart filled with the grace of God. For such a cry, for such a plea, would be spiritual suicide for the unconverted. It would torment him. When grace has been received into our hearts, we have the boldness to approach the throne of grace in time of need. And by God's grace and by His wonderful salvation, in spite of all the wickedness and infirmities of our hearts, we too, as David, can humbly plead, "Search me and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts." Because that which would destroy a sinful man is what gives spiritual life to a converted man. It's a spiritual balm. And it's within these blessed words of the preacher, or the, who this is also called, the preacher of Proverbs, that we see a most blessed and yet very humbling truth concerning the heart of man. He says here, who hope deferred or delayed maketh the heart sick. Now this form of heart sickness of which the preacher here speaks has infested mankind since the fall of mankind. And has spread its disease to every human being born since that day. Man is born with a sick heart. A diseased heart. A corruptible heart. And time and sin has only proven, dearly beloved, to greatly increase this terrible disease. And with the only remedy lying within God, beloved, few have been delivered from its curse, and very few has been cured from its awful disease. I even heard last week, sitting amongst those who are not saved, how they're terrified at the present condition of the world and what they're seeing mankind is capable of doing. The atrocities. It's unbelievable what mankind is capable of doing. Those who don't believe in the total depravity of man isn't paying attention to the world today, are they? Man is capable of doing the most horrid, most terrible things. Time and sin has only proven that this heart disease which man was born with is ever increasing amongst mankind. But let us begin this morning by examining this heart sickness just a little bit closer in regards of two things. First of all, in regards of the unconverted and in regards of the Christian. You say, well, a Christian can have heart sickness. Oh, yes, he can. And there are countless Christians this morning, this very day, this very moment, that have very sick hearts. And they're increasing in number. But let us start with the unconverted. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. First of all, I want you to understand, hope is not a wish. It's world apart from wishing. Hope is not a wish. Hope is a sure expectation of something. You follow me? This is what hope is. It's not a wish or simply a desire. It's a sure expectation of something. It expects and it anticipates that which has not been seen yet or is not yet present but is yet to come. It's something that we haven't seen, something that isn't present, but it's something that is yet to come. That's what hope is. It's not possessing something. That's not hope. You need to follow me to this. It's not possessing something. This is why, and we'll see that later on with Christians, why many Christians have a sick heart. Hope is not possessing something. For whatever one possesses, you can't hope for it. If you already have it, you can't hope for it. That's why Paul said in Romans 8:24, hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But the preacher speaks of a hope being delayed, deferred. He said, when that happens, the heart's made sick. Of this hope of which the proverb the preacher here speaks, this world knows nothing of. Ephesians 2 says, the sinner hath no hope, and without God in the world. They don't know what hope is. We live in a hopeless world. They've been there, but I've never seen it so clearly than in this last week in traveling and when I was with my family in Colorado, how much hopelessness is in the world. People have no hope. They have no idea what it is. The world simply possesses dreams and wishes, which only prove to increase their heart sickness. Why do you think Hollywood's making so much money nowadays? People love to go to movies and sit in the movie house and get lost in an imaginary world for a few hours to escape reality.
People go out and spend money and get drunk in bars and spend money on drugs. Why? To try to escape reality. The world has no hope. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I ran into a relative of mine who's suffering through a lot of trouble. A cousin of mine. I ain't seen him for over 30 years. And he looked at me and he said, "You know," he said, "I tried religion 3 years and it didn't work." So he turned his back on God. God isn't a quick fix to temporary problems. He never has been. And now he has no hope. He looked at me like no man has looked at me before in a long time, with an expression of, "I have nowhere to go and I have no hope in life." And if we as God's people really truly seen that and understood that, that the world has no hope, we would not be so cold and indifferent and slothful in reaching out to sinners in hope that they might know something of the hope that we have in Christ. I met another relative. His situation is even more devastating. And his words were this: "If things don't change, I'm just going to take my life." No hope. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. The world knows nothing of this hope, and therefore their heart is sick continually. Like that of Cain, who was cursed to be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. Sinful man, dearly beloved, roams through life with his vain and imaginary dreams and wishes. "I'm going to win the Powerball. $120 million and all my troubles will be over. I'm going to get that new job, that new car, that new house. And things will be better." Imaginary and vain dreams and wishes. Because none of those things have any substance to them. They don't give them the hope of which the preacher is speaking of. These things only prove to make his heart more sick, and in the end, his expectation and hope perish with him. Proverbs said it best, Proverbs 11:7. "When a wicked man dies, his expectation, his hope, shall perish. When he dies, his expectation shall perish. And the hope of unjust men perisheth." Everything he lived for, everything he sought to achieve in life, perishes with him. So when he dies, his expectations die with him. There is nothing left. That's why when we go to the funeral of the graveside of a Christian, Paul says, "Let us not grieve as those who have" what? "No hope." I've been deeply troubled by the way Christians are grieving in the past few years around the death of a Christian. It's a grief that should be foreign to a believer. Not griefless, but it is a grief which should be foreign to believers. We have a hope. And in the Christian's death, there is an expectation and a hope which brings joy and contentment. Because the world places their hope and their expectations in vain and carnal things, their hope shall perish one day while yet living. Their hearts are sick. That's a terrible life to live. While living, their hearts are sick, and when they perish, their expectations perish with them. But the beloved in Christ are different. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." There is the present life. No sick heart. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The gospel, dearly beloved, is called in Colossians the hope of the gospel. Churches today have lost that. They don't see into the faces and the eyes of those who have no hope. Wrapped up in their internal problems, endless debates over theology, denominationalism. They squabble and fight with one another as sinners die and go to hell with no hope. And yet the hope that we have is the one that Peter said we must always be ready to give an answer for. Always be ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within you. Why? Because they have no hope. Their hearts are sick continually. Throughout this whole week, that's the only thing that kept it, was as though God was bringing it continually before my eyes. Look at these people. They have no hope. And every time they think they have hope, it's nothing but a vain dream, an imaginary wish that quickly vanishes. Their dreams perish quickly. They're quenched quickly. And the smallest thing can break up their dreams. The world knows no hope. Therefore, the world's heart is sick continually. May God give us grace as God's children to see with the eyes that Christ seeing when He looked upon the woman and the Samaritan woman and the people coming from the city when He just got finished preaching to her. And He said to His disciples, look upon the fields, for they're white and they're ready on the harvest. We have the hope. We have the hope in Christ. The hope of the gospel, which we should be proclaiming to the world so that they might have hope. And this loss of love and pity and compassion for sinners is not lacking amongst the majority of Christians. It's not even evident. They have no hope. And their hearts are sick. What about the true believer? Can a true believer suffer under such heart sickness? Beloved, I've seen more heart-sick Christians since I've come to America than I ever seen in my past 30-some years of Christianity. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. When hope's delayed or prolonged, it maketh the heart sick. Now the believer has this hope. Yet when God by His grace and for purposes known only unto Himself in His divine providence and sovereignty, when He defers that hope, when He delays that hope, when He lets it linger, if we're not watchful and prayerful, our hearts become sick. And spiritually we're incapable of doing anything for Christ. We lose the spiritual vitality in our prayers. We lose the desire to read God's Word. We don't want to go to the house of God anymore. We have no longing and yearning to know Christ more intimately. Our hearts become sick. Because our expectations have not been met in accordance to our timing. And in the manner and fashion we wish them to take place. Countless believers today suffer under this heart disease. And their lives and their conduct merely prove the spiritual illness of their hearts. Discontent, murmuring, complaining, dissatisfied. Always down, always discouraged. See no hope in their conversation, no hope in their prayers, no hope in their encouragements. We have a lively hope in Christ Jesus, is what Paul says. Or Peter. A lively hope in Christ Jesus. Sometimes, dear beloved, God will defer the hope that we have to test and try us. Faith and hope go together. You can't separate them. And sometimes God will give us hope about something, and He'll defer it. He'll delay it purposely to strengthen us, to try us, so that that hope might be more precious, as we'll see in closing when it says, but when the desire cometh, it says, what does it say? When desire cometh, it is a tree of life. It refreshes the soul. It gives us abundant life and spirituality and vitality. David's hope was deferred. Remember when they anointed him king as a young lad? But he had to wander in the wilderness while his hope of being king was deferred. God wanted him to wander in the wilderness while his hope of being king was deferred. And there was one slight moment in the life of David in the wilderness when David in Psalm says, "I shall never be made king." His heart began to be sick. I've seen so many preachers today, and myself included in many of these temptations, whose hope of seeing God do something, souls being saved, churches growing, Christians living right, because hope has been deferred, their hearts are sick, and they have no spiritual vitality to do anything. They're discouraged and they're discomforted and discontent, and they find themselves murmuring all the time. They don't see no hope in preaching anymore. They don't see no hope in the church. Their hearts are sick. Ask anyone, and I don't mean this in any kind of bad way, but ask anyone who has a heart problem. Those simplest things in life that you used to do all the time, that you took for granted, that I take for granted, if you could do them now, you'd be the happiest man or woman in the world. But because your heart is sick, it affects your entire body. Can't move right. Can't sleep right. Can't do the things you used to do. Everything is infected by a sick heart. And when the Christian's heart becomes sick, you can't find the energy to do nothing. If we're not watching and praying, beloved, we will fall into danger of having sick hearts. And a sick heart will never be able to do anything for Christ. Has your love and desire for Christ grown in the last weeks, months, years? Or has it diminished? Has it leveled off? Are you at a spiritual standstill? Because hope has been deferred? Expectations that you thought wasn't delivered didn't come in the time that you wanted or the manner in which you wanted it? Joseph must wait in the dungeon while the hope of delivering Israel from the throne of Egypt was deferred. This is just two illustrations, but you can find them throughout Scripture where God gave His people hope. Remember Abraham? He said, "I'm going to give you seed." And Abraham hoped against hope. That's a paradox, isn't it? In fact, he got heart sickness for a while because his wife said, "Well, God's not going to do it. Let's do it. Let us do it ourselves. Here's my maid. Sleep with her and have a child and we'll just fulfill God's promises since He's delaying His promise." Love and hope deferred is often God's ambassador of grace. Do you know that? When God will prolong or delay the hope that we have, more than often, it's God's ambassador of grace to teach us the true and lasting treasures of what real hope is. So that when God does fulfill our hope, beloved, we'll cherish it with all our hearts. We'll never take it for granted. And it'll increase our faith and our vitality and our love for Christ. Because we waited for it. It's like that heart that panteth after the water. So thy heart panteth after God. When it's been deferred and God waits and He lingers and we keep praying and saying, "God, I don't see the meaning of all this. And my expectations are not being expected in the manner and way in which I expected. And yet, God, I'm going to trust in You. I'm going to hope in You." When God finally brings us that, the preacher said it's like a tree of life. Beloved, as Christ is the object of our hope, and He should be, Christ is our hope, according to Colossians. If Christ is the true object and the sole object of our hope, Christ Himself, then regardless of how or why God chooses to defer hope, beloved, we will both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. That's what Psalm says. Or Lamentations 3:26. Excuse me. It is good, it said. It is good for a man to both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Beloved, I pray that God would give us grace so that we might be delivered from this heart disease, this heart sickness. Hope might be deferred. Moses had to wait 40 years. Joseph had to wait at least 2 years in prison. David had to wait who knows how long in the wilderness. But God is immutable, omnipotent, unchanging, and powerful, and sovereign. He cannot and will not lie. He changeth not. When God gives us a hope, may we rest that hope in Christ. And though God choose to defer it for a while, a season, a lifetime, let us rest in that hope of Jesus Christ. For then our hearts shall not be made sick. And when that desire comes, and it will come, God has promised it. It will come. Like a tree of life. What is that tree which Adam could not partake of in the Garden of Eden? It's the tree of life. When he partook of the tree of knowledge, and God said, well, I've got to throw you out so you don't get the tree of life. Why? The tree of life is a symbol of spiritual vitality, fellowship with God, intimate relationship and communion with the Holy Spirit. And beloved, when that hope, when that desire does finally come, and we've been watching and praying and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, when that desire comes, I'm telling you, God will fill our hearts and our souls with spiritual vitality and fellowship and intimate relationship and communion with the Holy Spirit, that we shall say it has long been worth it. And like the queen who came to see King Solomon, and seen it all, she said, the half has not been stolen. And so shall it be with us. You see, we've lost that. And we've gotten sick hearts. May God do a heart operation on us. A spiritual heart operation. That we might not be sick. May God give us grace. Trust in Him. So when the desire cometh, it shall be like a tree of life. Amen. And when it does, let's take it out there to sinners who have no hope, whose life is a dream, whose wishes and dreams perish. I'll close with this. That family relationship of mine, that family relative of mine who said he tried God for 3 years, sat outside the garden on a swinging bench. He looked at me and he said, you know, if I could go back when we were kids, change everything. And he began to cry. He said, I would. There's no hope in that. There's only hope in Christ. We have that hope. Why are we heartsick? We shouldn't be. We should be taking that hope out to the world, telling them about the wonderful grace and mercy and the hope which is in Christ Jesus. The hope of eternal life. The hope of fellowship with God. Deliverance of sin. May God give us grace and heal our heart disease so that we might be always ready to tell them of the hope that lies within us. And when God defers that hope, beloved, when He defers it, and He will, according to His own choosing, let us wait patiently, quietly. And when He brings that hope, we'll be like the tree of life. And oh, what a joy that will be. May God grant us grace. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that You would help us. Our hearts, oh God, have been so sickened and ill. We pray, dear God, help us. Revive in us, Thy children, the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, the hope of salvation, the hope of eternal life, the hope which we have in God. Lord, we pray that God, You'd help us in those times and seasons when You prefer for Your own good pleasure and Your own sovereign will to defer hope. Help us, dear God, we pray, to fix our hearts upon Thee. That, Lord, when the hope does come, when the desire does come, it shall be like a tree of life, that we might go out and people might partake of that hope which lieth in us. We live in a hopeless world, and too many Christians are being influenced by their hopeless despair. Help us, pray, God. Give us grace and mercy. Bless now this time of fellowship. Bless the food that we're about to partake of. Bless our dear brother and sister as they continue visiting here. And bless their return trip tomorrow. We love You and thank You for all You've given us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.